there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. Thank you. welcome back, and congratulations to making it to the end of the road here, episode 70 out of 70. So what that means is we've gone through the entire Monk songbook as it relates to the guitar, you know, and some ideas that I have on it, and you know, hopefully it's given you a few ideas as well. Now I'm going to continue. This isn't the end of the Patreon, it's just the, kind of really the beginning. It's the end of the intro. The intro is establishing all these songs, and then you start working on the songs, start learning how to improvise on them and stuff like that. But we want to get the songs right at least, you know. And so the one that we have to do, which you may have guessed, is the most well-known of all of Monk's compositions, which is Round Midnight. Round Midnight is written by Thelonious Monk very early. Could have been when he was 19 or 20, you know, sometime in the 1930s. He's born in 1917, so we're talking about the late 30s, early 40s, something like that. And then there is some dispute about the provenance of various things. So if you look at a chart of Round Midnight, you'll see three names in there. You see Cootie Williams, a trumpet player, and you'll see a lyricist by the name of Hannigan or something like that. And so Cootie Williams wrote like an interlude that he played, but no one else ever played it, and Monk never played it. And then the lyrics were kind of added on, but they weren't really part of the original tune either. So it's a bit of a shame that, you know, Thelonious Monk, in looking for a hit song, when he really, his biggest hit, which is Round Midnight, he only, and his estate only gets one third of the royalties for that, even though, you know, 99% of the song that everyone plays is his composition. But, you know, the music business is not always fair, and certainly in those days was really exploitative against different people. So this is all detailed very extensively in the Robin D.G. Kelly biography of Thelonious Monk, which I'd recommend. I've said it many times, but I'll say it again. Go get that book and read it. You will learn a lot about Monk and a lot about American history in the 20th century. So, on to the song itself. So the song itself has kind of has three parts. It has an intro, and it has the main body of the tune, AABA form, and then it has like a coda. The intro is another disputed thing. It was Dizzy Gillespie claimed to have written this intro as a thing for as a coda, I believe, for I Can't Get Started. You know, the song. It's a sequence, you know, and this kind of sequence. This kind of thing, Woody and You, and those kind of sequences with the minor 7 flat 5 going to dominant 7 chord. That's a thing that also in that Robin Kelly book and elsewhere, Monk sort of complains about Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie taking that information from him and using it without credit. Although Charlie Parker did give him a lot of credit, but still, he had some songs that were really, you know, hits, and then this is at a period of time when, you know, he couldn't even, you know, he would hear these songs being played and he couldn't even get into some of these clubs because he didn't have a cabaret card and all this stuff. Is a lot of crazy stuff. So, and again, go back to the Robin Kelly book for all that stuff. But let's just talk about the music aspects of it. The intro, which is a little sequence. Now, he usually starts on this F7 chord. And what I mean by usually is in the references that I'm using. So what I'm using as a main reference, because there are a lot of recordings of this and they're all a little different, but I personally like this one from 1957 from the album Thelonious Himself. Now on this record, there's a 20-some minute version of Round Midnight where he does like 6 takes and he's working it out. You know, he's working out this and that. He's like, oh, let's stop there. Let's take it from there. And it's, that's pretty interesting to see what choices he's making. And then there's like an official take that's like 6 minutes and 46 seconds, something like that. And that is that's the one that I'm going to refer to most, although I will bring in a couple of other things. This may be a long video, so, you know, buckle up. Okay, so starting with this kind of thing. Now, we've heard this chord. This is like an F7 with an A and a B flat. We've heard it in like... That's cool one, for example. You know, we've heard this F7 a lot of places. Now, the one here is, I don't know, it's kind of a funny chord to start with because it's kind of like a secondary dominant, I guess, is what's happening, because it goes to a B-flat. So this is what could we use? I like to get the low F somehow. Let me change this. Let me get this better angle here on the guitar. Could do something like, or could even hit this. That's pretty hard. Could do the whole thing down here. That's F, A, E flat, B flat. A little muddy for my taste, maybe. You could get this. If you want to get the A and the B flat next to each other, I'm hitting the harmonic. That's kind of nice. Or even have the A really up on top. But I think the A should be below the B flat. So it starts off with this, and then it goes to the dominant, which she uses, in this case, 1957 recording. It was like B flat minor. I mean, A flat minor over B flat. I'm just playing A flat, C flat, E flat here with a B flat in the bass and a B flat on the top. That kind of sound. And then to like some kind of whole tone. I'm playing an E. Right? This is an E triad. B flat and a B flat. So we got something like, and then he does something. He does this kind of. This kind of sound. Then he goes here. Whole tone. All right, so that's the intro. I mean, that's the before the intro. It's actually like just a lead into the intro. Then he goes to the sequence. Okay, so this starts off with a C minor over A. And this is the sequence I was talking about before that Dizzy Gillespie used for various things, like that whole thing. This is the same sequence. So this is C minor over A, right? Or you call it A half diminished, but really it's a C minor 6 chord, right? C minor 6, because if it was in the key of G, for example, it would be a 4 chord. And then it goes to a D7, to the 5. It's a 4-5, right? And the 4 is a minor 6. So, on the old recording, the Genius in Modern Music, they kind of go. Now on the 1957 one, he goes. He's kind of going. It's this sound. I don't really know what you call it. I think of that as an augmented. Making it the D augmented. Oh, sorry, not that. I guess it would be the D7 becomes like a D7, one with a sharp 9, sharp 5, and a sharp 11. Whatever that sound is, I don't really know what to call that, but that's what it is. And I'm playing an A flat over D, same kind of concept as this chord I played before, the E over the A B flat, just a tritone, which incidentally is a all interval tetrad, but that's a whole other thing. Then it goes down a whole step. Sorry. Here he usually does something a little different, you know, to break up the pattern, so, or for whatever reason, but to me it feels like he's breaking the pattern. He does kind of a blues lick. So I'm playing B natural to a C, and it's, you know, it is a B natural because you have here, you know, this thing, A flat minor. Technically it's a C flat. He's kind of playing off a F, kind of a blues sound. He does that a few times on this recording. And then there's different ways of to fill up that space right there. The Genius of Modern Music one, there's like a bass break there. On later recordings, he puts a B-flat on the top. He goes... something like that, you know. But the basic concept is you're getting from... Now... on the 1957 recording, he plays a major 7. So after it goes... he plays a major 7th there. I kind of prefer what he does in later recordings where he plays this voicing, because that's, you can get it on guitar and it sounds... it doesn't sound resolved. It sounds like it's moving. It goes to A flat, and you could go maybe this is a thing. I was trying to listen closely to what Monk does on this particular 1957 recording. He does this. He moves that down. Because this is like, I don't know what you would call this. I got B, A, and C with the F sharp and top as a kind of a B7 flat 9. The bottom three notes move down and stop, top one stays. And then it becomes a B flat 7 with a sharp 5. So it could be. Sorry. Could be. Could stay here longer and then go to the D flat. Or you could go. These are all sort of variations that I've noticed. Could go to C there. Basically, you got to get from E flat back to E flat again somehow. So I'll play that little intro. of goes into the main part of the tune. So that's a version of the intro. Okay, cool. So so let's get into the actual tune. So the tune is in E flat minor, but it ends in E flat major. Kind of like how Bach might do or something, you know. It always ends on a major, you know. Now I should say, on the recording that I made on the Work CD, I didn't play the Monk melody, really, because I was like, well, that's been done a million billion times. Let me do something different. So what I did was I played the Bud Powell solo. I played pieces of the Bud Powell solo from 1950 recording at Birdland as kind of the melody, and then mixed that in with some of the original melody and some improvisation. I kind of did a thing like that. That's for another video, really. I can't get into the whole Bud Powell solo, but it's an amazing solo. And as Bud Powell was very close with Monk and really the greatest interpreter of Monk outside of Monk himself at that time, I thought that would be a fun thing to do. So that's what I did. But here I'm just going to go over the basic melody, which is... this is the same as Love Supreme, which is a half step up. Oops. Right, but this is a half step down. And then it goes here, right? Note that it's not this. It's right, F on the way up, G flat on the way down. Okay, so now how would you do this? If you were gonna play, this is a pretty good fingering for it. Six position, three, you know. But that's a little hard. For me, it's a little hard. To me, this is a little with the D there. A little awkward. I'd rather have more freedom to sort of put some inflection on this melody, so I can use an open D. See, I could do a lot more things with the melody if I have that open string ringing. So it's this, things moving down. So this is a C diminished chord. It has an A natural in it. It's not a half diminished. It's a fully diminished. So I'm playing a very simple version here, and then I'll get into some of the, you know, options for the different chords and stuff like that. But it's basically bo bo do be be do do C diminished, and then do an A flat minor 7 D flat 7. Now it goes to the C half diminished or the E flat minor. Now, or it can go to the E flat minor. He does both things, really. So it's not really, I don't think there's really a correct thing to do right here, but I'd say it's more common to go to the E flat minor, you know, but I don't know. Or it could be. He more commonly goes just to the back to the E flat minor, so. Up to that D flat. This is a double stop that's often hit. That's the basic melody, just up the D arpeggio. But it could be. I'm playing it here, but I'm playing that on top, E to E flat, or F flat to E flat, and then it goes. time bass note and melody. B, E, B flat, E flat. There's two fives, right? B flat, B minor, E flat. Sorry, B minor, E7, B flat minor, E flat 7. There's many variations that he does with the melody. This is really the octave, but it's a little high on guitar, but... So... Goes back to the E-flat minor again. Now, sometimes he goes to a G-flat major. Descending line there. So whether it's whether you go to the E flat, if you go to the G flat, it kind of comes up from the G flat. So this is an A flat 7 with a sharp 11. But if you do it the if you go to the E flat minor, you go. You can put a D diminished here. Second. Can you come down and get it? Sorry, I'm trying to All right, I have to run. Take a minute for the bathroom. I'll be back in 1 minute. All right, here we are. So, put a flat 9 in that D flat. Back to this E flat again with the C in the bass. Now there are many things. Sometimes he goes up. This is a E flat minor over C. Now this could be also. This is kind of nice. I guess B7 is more. Could be an F7. Since the melody is an F, I like to play a B7 just to have more flavor, you know, because if you go to F, it sounds a little square, so. Now, on this recording, it goes like this. I'll go on. This is a D flat C C flat with a 3-2-1 in the fingers. I'm grabbing the B flat with the fourth finger. Right? This is the same. The second A is now. He does a little line here quite often. What is it? Where does he come when he goes up? It's got to be a... Yeah. So So that's nice to throw in. That's one of the figures that he plays often in that spot. So it goes. Played a high. You could do it. He plays his fifth sometimes up there. And that would be going to the G flat. Sometimes he hits that faster. And this B flat 7 chord with the E flat on top. Classic voicing. Little fill there. Oftentimes it's some sort of pentatonic. Now the bridge starts on this E flat minor over C again. A lot of the same chords. This is nice to play something like, you could play. You go. This F I'm playing, F, you can even hit the A, oh, the A you already have, so A, F, E flat, A, B natural, F on top. That's the same move I did before. Now when he goes up, he uses his whole tone. Something. You do it any kind of way you like. Or mess around. He does this move off the A flat minor. So from the A flat minor, sometimes it's in octaves, starting the G flat, moving down chromatic. So you got from the F, you got this F with the E flat and F, and then you got the moves down a half step to D and E with B flat in the bass. So. So that was no good. So. Trying to remember this little phrase he plays. Yeah, he does up the E flat minor. Six. And then he does up an F7. Now that move, that's the same one we did just three bars earlier. So it starts with that and ends with that. It's like D flat 13, B 13, and then back to the A flat minor, F minor, to B flat 7. Okay? And that's basically the tune as it, you know, there's many, many other little things, but that's the basic structure of the A, A, B, and then the last A is, you know. this is the coda, which is oftentimes played with kind of a straight eighth feel or some kind of so-called Latin feel or something. So the first chord is a kind of a, it goes from between a to a C half diminished or E flat minor over C to an F7. F sharp minor 7. 2 5. And then that B7 turns into a B minor. Just one time. And then I go F minor 11. Some kind of 13. Maybe with a flat 9. So I'll play this coda. You can, you know, the best thing to do is just to go listen to various versions of it. But it's after you finish the tune. So I'll do it from like... You could go. Monk also does that. He goes to like an E7 to a D flat 6. I'm playing E, G sharp, B flat. Then he does this real fast. That's just, I'm just playing D flat in the bass with the E flat and then going down in fifths. So it goes. This is a little sequence. The melody is. That's the melody, just all fourths. And then with the bass notes, D flat, B, A, to a B flat, when it comes to that last thing. So it doesn't. It doesn't go straight from the A to the E flat. You gotta put something else in. Right? And that's like an E flat major. You know, you could do different things. You could even hit these harmonics. You got a lot of nice harmonics available. So that's the tune. I should play, well, you know, I'm going to do a performance video of it so you can just kind of see that for how it all goes together. But I'll play that finishing part just because I didn't do that yet. So here's the end of the tune. Concentration on the last part there, so here it goes. Around midnight. Okay, so check out the Robin D.G. Kelly book. There's a great movie called Around Midnight with Dexter Gordon. Very famous song. Many different ways of playing it, but trying to stick to the way that Monk played it. Now, if you listen to Miles Davis' version, it's much, much different. And people are very influenced by that. But, you know, Monk had some complaints about the way Miles Davis played it, you know. That and Well You Needin' and Straight No Chaser and a few other things that Miles Davis sort of did his own way. And then those became a standard way of doing it, but that was not the original changes. So this is pretty close. Of course, I encourage you to do your own listening and investigation. This is just based on my listening. It's not based on charts or anything like that. So if your ears are better than mine, then you may come up with some other things. So, okay, that's it for this. Stay tuned for the performance video and also the Bud Powell transcription. I'll put that up. And then we'll be moving on to phase two of this practice cycle. All right. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.